Bulldog Live here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live. Brian at BrianTilton.com is our email address where you can get in touch with us as well. As I said early in the show today, more questions than answers regarding this new route announcement on Northern Pass. Joining us now is Jack Savage from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests, or Forest Society for short, who, was saying on WMUR News last night, glad to see that they found a shovel. But, Jack, good morning. Good to see you.
Morning, Bulldog. How you doing?
Oh, my goodness. If I got a phone stuck to the side of my ear, please peel it off, because I've been on that all day long.
I'm sure. But, hey, before we get to that, you're a bicyclist, right?
Yes.
So I promised a friend of mine and signed up and joined his team to ride the Prouty in a few weeks.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's like a long ride, right?
Well, it can be as long as you want it to be. Yeah. I mean, they do shorter rides.
Well, that's good, because I was out riding yesterday, and I think shorter is going to need to be the name of the day.
That's all right. I'm going to do the pedaling for Payson in September, and they have a couple of options. They have an 18-mile, a 31-mile, and a 77-mile. I'm doing the 31-mile.
Do they have like 2, 3, 5, something like that? Or maybe 20 miles downhill, that'd be good.
Yeah, I can make good time on that, I'm sure. come on, I mean, you run the Boston Marathon for crying out loud. You should be able to do
but
this.
But I've been slacking off a little bit, and so I got to get back in shape.
Yeah, huh? we'll whip you back into shape. And if this weather would cooperate, we'd be in better shape, wouldn't
we? Yeah, you know, I don't mind running or riding in the rain so much. Okay. It's
better
it's
than
not
me.
Too bad. Yeah, it's much better than the brutal heat, so it's okay.
Yeah, good. Well, we finally got a little break of that, too. But looking at what Northern Pass came out with yesterday, what's your reaction?
Well, I think from the Forest Society's point of view, we still need to take a closer look at what they're proposing. One of the important aspects of yesterday's announcement from our standpoint is that they are now acknowledging that people in New Hampshire do not want to see what they initially proposed to build. They do not want to see 100-foot towers across 180 miles of New Hampshire landscape. And so all of what they were talking about yesterday was about how to mitigate that and how to hide it and how to underground it in various places. And we need to take some time. I think it's only fair for us to take time, take a look at what they're proposing to do, to the what extent that they have been able to find ways to mitigate the impacts of their proposed line. And we're going to do that and understand. Our great concerns, of course, continue to be conserved lands, such as our Washburn Family Forest up in Pittsburgh or Clarksville, right on the Pittsburgh line, where they're proposing to go under Route 3 and across or under the Connecticut River. It's unclear to me how they really propose to do that.
Right.
The Rocks Estate, the Kaufman Forest, which is in Stark, and the White Mountain National Forest, as well as many other conserved lands between the White Mountains and down through Franklin and over to Deerfield. And so to the extent that they're still proposing to put private commercial towers in the White Mountains National Forest, from our standpoint, that just has no place.
Now you've got 2 points that they're going to be crossing the White Mountain National Forest, up there in Stark area and then, you know, through the other areas that we've been talking about for the last couple of years.
Right. And we often forget, I think they've often forget, that this is not a reliability project. No one's demanding that this be built except Hydro-Québec and Northeast Utilities. And as such, it's a little different than a public utility project. And so it raises the question on an existing right-of-way through a conserved parcel of whether or not it's a reasonable use and whether or not it has any place, whether a right-of-way acquired using ratepayer funds many years ago whether it's a reasonable use to place a private commercial project. And, of course, the White Mountain National Forest is really a regional, national resource, tourism resource and wood resource, and it shouldn't be dispensed with so casually.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Senator Woodburn was talking about with us earlier in the program. He's spending some time in Franconia Notch today, and he's concerned about a lot of the conserved lands through that area that Northern Pass still proposes to go through. Basically, the lower 140, as we've been calling it for a long time, which includes the Rocks Estate in Bethlehem, which the Forest Society owns. You know, that's all still going according to plan, or their plan.
Right. Well, right. Yeah. I mean, they're still talking about erecting more than 1,000 towers across 180 miles of New Hampshire. And that's been unacceptable to our Board of Trustees from the start, and I think it's still unacceptable today. although we will take time to take a look at where they've suggested they can lower tower heights and see whether it makes a difference. But in the end, I suspect that they may have done themselves a disfavor here, because what we're seeing is that now that they have acknowledged that they can bury it along transportation corridors, or at least they say they can, for a short portion, you saw statements from the governor, statements from Senator Forrester, statements from others that suggest that far more of this line should be buried. And I think we would echo those sentiments that to the extent that far more of this line can be mitigated, it should be.
Now, the Washburn Family Forest that we talked about this a little bit yesterday with Donna Jordan of the Colebrook Chronicle, and it was, you know, she has intimate knowledge of a lot of the parcels of land in that area, more so than I do. And we were looking at the maps, because you look at the maps where Northern Pass proposes to go underground, comes real close to the Washburn Family Forest. And I'm just wondering, have you been able to determine if that land is touched at all by their proposal?
Well, presumably it would not be, because we wouldn't allow that. So presumably, you know, I don't know what the scale of their maps is precisely. So if it's suggested it's going to go across our land, I don't think that's quite right. They certainly haven't talked to us about that. Here's what I think is starting to emerge here, Brian, and you saw Anne-Marie Timmons in the Concord Monitor kind of suggest this, that yesterday's announcement, in particular the portions of the route that they're proposing to bury, the 8 miles, 7.5 miles one place, about a half mile another place, really don't look like, it turns out, to be much more than lines drawn on a map. That there really hasn't been any serious discussion with stakeholders and various entities, including the State Department of Transportation and others, to understand engineering realities, legal realities, and so forth. So I think what we can interpret from that is that this announcement was being driven by a need to show Wall Street that they were making progress, to show Hydro-Quebec that they were needing to make progress. And that it's really more of a made-for-TV moment than it was, in fact, a serious proposal. And I suspect they know that. I suspect they know that they have some steep hills to climb to make it a reality. And the fact may end up being that these burial options really aren't viable in any way. I think we need some more research about that. But clearly, it seems that there hasn't been adequate research into the nature of the rights it would take to do that at this point, that they're more or less lines on a map.
You know, and I, based on what I'm learning so far and a lot of my investigations yesterday into this, not only have at least the town of Stewartstown not been consulted by Northern Pass prior to this route announcement about using town roads, we come into more fine details about, you know, who really owns a town road. You know, does the town indeed own the road?
Yeah, roads are very complicated things, and you really have to look at the specific road in question and the specific deed of abutting properties in question to understand what that is. We're in the process of doing that to understand it better.
I understand that one of the roads that they're talking about has conservation easements on both sides of it.
That's correct. And to the extent that those properties may extend to the middle of the road, that may be a problem for them right there.
And looking at one of the routes where they propose to go underground goes further west than land that they paid millions and millions of dollars for on those parcels. So the question comes up, why didn't they head for the parcels of land that they already bought? Why are they avoiding the millions of dollars that they already spent?
I think we all know the answer to that question. It's because they painted themselves into a corner. They went down a blind alley, and it ended up blocked in large part to our efforts. And I would say we coordinated those efforts. Really, the efforts of thousands of people who donated the funds in order to block
the Trees Not Towers campaign. Yep.
I think one thing we can take from this is that from the Forest Society's point of view, we have not looked to stop Northern Pass from being built.
The concept of hydropower, right?
Well, we have not objected to the concept of the notion of bringing more hydropower from Canada down to southern New England. What we objected to is Northern Pass's proposed means of doing it, overheading it on towers above the tree line, mm-hmm. along a large swath of New Hampshire, more than two-thirds of the state, through the White Mountain National Forest. That's what we objected to. And our actions have been to compel them to look at alternatives. We've maintained, other transmission developers have maintained, other people in the industry have maintained, it is possible to do this without doing it the way they say. They complain that they maintain that it's too expensive, but it's only what it's really about is them wanting to use their specific right of way in order to do it. And so our blocking actions up north were intended to compel them to look at alternatives. To that extent, we've largely been successful. They have now said in their announcement that they're going to look at an alternative burial up there. And that's a baby step. Others have said, use the same analogy. That's a baby step towards looking at alternatives elsewhere through the state. I have no doubt that towns like Deerfield, which voted earlier this year at March Town Meeting to require undergrounding of new transmission lines, will come forward, whatever forum is, whether it's a public forum or whether it's in front of the SEC, if it gets that far, or to the DOE, that, look, if they can bury it through 7.5 miles of Stewartstown, they sure as hell can bury it right here in our town. And I don't think Deerfield will be the only town or city to do that. Here in Concord, there's the Conservation Commission is opposed to Northern Pass. I think they're going to be advocating for a burial option through Concord. Mm-hmm. We might find that Franklin, the one city that says, geez, we'd really like the additional tax revenue we would get by the conversion station being built in our town. The one town that has been in favor of Northern Pass saying, excuse us, we wouldn't mind if those overhead lines were buried to and from the conversion station as well. I think there's going to be a huge drumbeat to say underground or nowhere.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the maps and still seeing a lot of conservation lands to be potentially impacted by this. And, it takes us back to where we were in 2010, really, with the original announcement. Here's a line on the map. Nobody was consulted ahead of time. There are no alternative routes proposed in this. And that I'd like to know when they go for the presidential permit application. I'd like to see somebody ask, gee, where's your alternative proposals? Because I believe that is supposed to be part of the process as well.
Right. Well, let's try to be fair here. This wasn't a presentation of the DOE. This is a public presentation. Like I said, a made-for-TV moment. And so they've probably got a little bit more work to do to restart their presidential permit application. And so those alternatives may be forthcoming.
All right. Jack Savage from the Forest Society, thank you very much. ForestSociety.org. And the Trees Not Towers campaign still running.
We very much appreciate your support of that, Brian.
All right. Thank you very much, too, Jack.